The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
We've talked about a lot of different real estate books on this show. If you want to see a list of every book that's been mentioned, you can check it out at rentalincomepodcast.com/books. Joining me on the show today from Louisville, Kentucky is John Rothplatz. John is a fairly new investor. He's only been at this for about a year and a half. But in that year and a half, he's taken massive action. He's bought several multifamily properties. The properties he's bought were in pretty bad shape. He's gotten them fixed up, and then he was able to rent them out and raise the rent. And he did this all while working his full-time job with the help of his team. I want to hear how he did this and what he has going on, so let's get right into it. John, welcome to the show. Why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about your portfolio?
Well, we have three multifamily properties, all in town, and a total of 21 units.
That is really incredible. And all your properties are multifamilies? You don't have any single families?
No, they're all multifamily.
What made you want to buy multifamilies over single families?
Well, I talked to a lot of different people, as many people as I could kind of find in town through my little network, who had different sorts of portfolios. And it just seemed like starting out with the amount of time and energy it would take just to do a deal, and then kind of the yield that we would get from a deal, I just felt like it would be better to have a multifamily. You know, I got my first unit was, or our first property was 5 units. And that took about as much time as it would have taken to get a single family. And then so there was the time factor. And then I also was, you know, we started with the one and we weren't sure how that would go. And I wanted to have the cash flow coming from the different units. You know, we'd have, if we had one empty or whatever, we'd still have cash flow coming in from the other units. So that was kind of the thinking, was the cash flow part of it, and then just the amount of energy and time that it would take to make an acquisition.
Now, a lot of people have the debate over what's better, a single family or a multifamily. And one of the big things that pushes people towards single family sometimes is that they have more stable tenants, that people are staying longer. The tenants are easier to manage. Have you found that things have been more difficult, or have you seen any turnover yet in your rentals?
Well, you know, since we've only been at it a year and a half, I'm limited in my experience on that. We have had, 5-plex was the first thing that we got, and we had some empty units when we did renovations initially, and I think we've had one unit turnover since then, and that was one person moved out, somebody else moved in the next day, so there was really no vacancy, and then we've had a couple people renew. So I don't know. I guess if you had I can see the benefit on a single family, but we're in areas that are pretty popular, and I think the management team does a good job with their marketing and with keeping the properties tuned up to where they need to be so that they're desirable. So it seems pretty good in that regard.
It seems like they are doing a good job. You only had vacancy for one day. How did they find a tenant so quickly?
Just a day or two. You know, I think they knew that the person who was in that unit was not going to renew. And so then they started advertising the unit. I'm not sure how far in advance, but then they had interest in it. And yeah, so they just had it right away. It's in a popular part of town.
And you don't do any of the management yourself. You've got a property manager that handles everything.
That's correct. Yeah, I have a full-time job that I enjoy, and it's very busy. And so really, I've been interested in investing in real estate. But for me, the big trick was figuring out how can I do it where I don't have to meet the plumber and where I don't have to take the phone calls. And so really the key to me to even getting started was finding a management team that I was confident in that could run it and do it in a, you know, high level professional capacity. But of course the numbers had to work. So I wasn't sure, you know, if I could get that combination. And I interviewed several different property management people in town and went and looked at some properties with a few of them. And it wasn't until I found the team that I'm with now that I really felt confident that they would be able to do a great job, and they have been. So,
what did you like about them? What was what was good about the team that you ended up hiring?
Well, I mean, it's almost a turnkey sort of situation, I guess, in that they don't have the acquisitions already made. And so I was very active with finding the properties, but they brokered the deal. And then when we've wanted to do renovations and improvements, then they managed that. And so if I were someplace else, they could run it all. Of course, I've been very interested in as much as I'm able to spend time and learn about it and be involved with what they're doing. I like to do that. I try not to pester them, but when I, you know, some weeks I'm really busy and I don't have any time to deal with it. And then other weeks I might have a little more free time and flexibility, but in any case, so they helped me broker the deals. They seemed to be very knowledgeable about the areas of town that I was interested and comfortable investing in. And then they also seem to have the expertise and the aesthetic sensibility when we were looking at buildings and when we're looking at renovating buildings to put them together in a fashion that I'm happy with and that I think is appropriate for the, you know, the type of buildings they are and such that the renovations end up, you know, looking great and they're very appealing to the potential clients. So
do they charge you extra to kind of manage the fixing up of the units, or is that just included in the management fee?
They make a markup on renovations.
Yeah. Okay.
So they have, I think they have some in-house, guys who will do repairs, and so some minor repairs, you know, they'll use their in-house guys, and that's pretty inexpensive. But then if they need to bring an outside subcontractor in, then they'll operate as the contractor, and then they'll of course make a markup. And I'll tell you, it doesn't bother me at all to pay them a markup. You know, if they have to go meet a plumber a couple times or an electrician a couple times, if that saves me from having to leave the office to go meet a guy who may or may not be on time. And so it's, to me, it's really just, I consider it a cost of doing it, and I'm happy, you know, they need to be in business and I want them to make enough money to be able to be there and run a good operation. So the key really was to me, could we do it and make enough money that the numbers still make sense and the upside is still there for me at the end of the day, because I felt like if I have to do it all myself, then, you know, then I'm comparing what can I make at my job that I like versus what can I make doing real estate. And I'm not planning to be a real estate, you know, it's not my job. It's just an investment. So.
Right. Part of your strategy is that you're buying places that are in kind of disrepair, right? That's kind of what you're doing.
Right. We haven't bought anything that's been really bad. They've mostly been, well, there's only three of them, I guess. The 12-plex that we got was kind of bad. And in fact, my wife saw a picture of it after we got it. She didn't go into it before we got it. And she saw a picture afterwards, and she was sort of shocked. And she said, I can't believe we just borrowed that much money for such an awful place. And, wow. But that was really just, you know, the aesthetic part, the landscape. There was no landscaping, you know, it's just dirt and nasty carpet. just really like a classy, dumpy place, but it was in really like a B+ or A neighborhood. And I was kind of surprised that didn't get, you know, somebody didn't buy that before I did, because it had been on the market for a couple of months. But so that was fairly easy to see and fairly straightforward. So there was some deferred maintenance. And I think in that case, that was just, you know, some people had owned it for years and years and they had been enjoying the cash flow, but you know, everybody has different motivations. They just hadn't been in a situation where they felt compelled to, you know, spend a whole lot to make the units nicer. So, so we're doing some, you know, fairly minor renovations, putting in new floor coverings and new painting, maybe new bathroom vanity and light fixtures. So not terribly expensive, but making them into kind of clean, nice places. I guess we've done some landscaping as well.
Are the tenants in the units while you're upgrading them?
So Well, what we've done is when somebody's lease comes up, we'll usually, if it's somebody who is maybe kind of sketchy, or if there's some issue with, if it's a tenant maybe that with their screening process they wouldn't normally accept, but in the other folks, if it's somebody who is interested to stay, they might either offer a, you know, more of a competitive market rent rate and let them stay, or you know, we might, or they, or maybe the tenant opts to leave, and then we'll just do the units as the leases expire. So then we're kind of doing the units, you know, one or two at a time.
Well, when you were first looking at the units, how did you know that the tenants were going to be good tenants? Like, did you do any kind of screening on them, or did you just kind of take the landlord's word that everybody was good?
Well, no, we didn't know. And I guess when I'm looking at these acquisitions, we're sort of looking at it. I mean, I hear people talking about cap rates and I understand that can be a helpful baseline, but I sort of don't really believe anything that's presented to me. And so I'm of course trying to cross-reference as much of the expense side as possible. And then I also go into the deal realizing that we're going to need to have enough capital to maybe go through a cycle where the income on the property is somewhat anemic. And either because we have maybe tenants that we might have to evict, which we haven't had to do, or we just have the turnover and so we have some vacancy while we're improving the units. And of course, the first few units that you improve aren't going to get quite as high a rent as the, you know, the last few units you do, as you change the building and change the culture in the building and the atmosphere there. Mm-hmm. So it really, you know, I realized that it'll take, you know, over 12 months to really get the building close to optimized. So I'm sort of looking at it, thinking about, what are the things that could go wrong? We always get an inspection. I have an inspector who's really good and really thorough. And so I'm, you know, get a good thorough inspection to try to see what the problems are. And then I sort of go into it with the notion that I might just have to carry the mortgage myself, you know, for 18 months and, before it's all stabilized, and hopefully it'll, you know, it's bringing in cash along the way, but I kind of set it up as a worst case scenario that the whole thing is entirely empty. And can I run it and, cash, you know, cash flow it myself until it's all got its own legs. So,
well, it sounds like you're doing great. I mean, it sounds like you've got really a good handle on this. So what's next? Are you looking to buy more properties?
Well, currently we want to absorb the 12 unit place, and we're 2 units into that improvement. And so that'll go through the summer and into the fall. And then yeah, once we get that closer to stabilized, we'll be looking for more properties.
So, I love it. I love it.
As long as it's going well and it seems to be, and it's a challenge to find properties that fit what we're looking for, but you know, they pop up every now and then. And
so, yeah, you gotta be ready to go when they come up. Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, John, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time and hearing your story.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Yeah, thanks for having me, Dan.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new Caramel Chocolate Cold Brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.